They also perpetually abstain from meat. That's tough. They're hardcore, man. That's why I want to talk about the Carthusians.
You have Grenoble. Hey, everybody. This is Father Alec for Catholic Bites, and I'm here today with a guest, the normal host in Catholic Bites, Father Conrad, who's going to talk to us about something inexplicable, which is silence, something that is very foreign to him.
That's right. Yeah, I will not shut up. So, did you see the movie Integrate Silence?
I did. It's an incredible movie about
the Carthusians.
The Carthusians,
and that's what I want to talk about.
And Father Conrad has this bizarre pipe dream about wanting to be a Carthusian, which, if anyone's ever met him, knows, and
it will never
criticism
happen.
Of mine as well, but no chance it would ever happen. Tell me what about the Carthusians is so intense.
I've wanted to do a 60 seconds podcast on the Carthusians, but there's been so much awesome stuff that I can't fit it all into 60 seconds, so that's why I'm glad we have this opportunity to talk about it.
Talk forever about not talking.
About not talking. Let's start with the movie Integrate Silence. This German documentary maker wrote to this, the Carthusians are this very secluded, very hermetical, hermit-like order that keeps perpetual silence, and they're all praying just constantly. And so this documentary maker wrote to them and was like, I want to make a documentary on you guys. And they're like, okay, we'll think about it.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
They don't let people,
you can't do anything. So they write back, okay, we'll think about it. And then 12 years later, they're like, oh, we thought about it. Okay, we'll make the documentary. And then you can watch it. It is so fascinating and it's so beautiful. And their life of prayer and service and love of Jesus Christ and love of his cross is just so powerful.
If you haven't seen it, it will inspire you to be a holier person. It will amaze you at the grace of God.
At the same time, you may fall asleep because it's 3 hours of just silent monks
Great silent monks.
But so the Carthusians were started in the in 1084 by Saint Bruno.
Not Saint Carthus.
No, not Saint Carthus. No, it comes from the word for chartreuse, which is the Great Chartreuse, is their first foundation. So in the mountains of France, this monastery was built by Saint Bruno, and it was. This idea was to seclude these men from the entire world, to leave everything, to totally die to themselves. And they really take that seriously. If you read a book by a Carthusian, for the most part, I have a couple books that I read often by Carthusians, and it's always written by an anonymous Carthusian.
Yeah.
They totally die to themselves,
awesome.
And they live totally for Christ.
And now, how would this have been different than other religious life at the time?
Well, this is a fascinating period in church history because there was this huge reformation of monastic life. So we had had the Benedictine monks, were kind of the first big monks in the West, and that started in the 5th century. And then they had gotten a little, fat and wealthy, and because everyone was being Benedictine, they had all this property and stuff. And so then they were reformed by the Cluny Reformation. And then they kind of got a little fat and wealthy.
Yep.
And so then all these saints appeared in the 11th century and were we need to follow Jesus more closely, more radically. And so we had the Norbertines with St. Norbert. We have the Cistercians with St. Bernard. We have the Camaldolese with St. Romuald, and then we have the Carthusians with St. Bruno.
Yes.
And so the rule was based on the Benedictine rule, so they're fundamentally monks, but it was very strict, very rigorous, and very devoted to prayer.
So this is Benedictine monks, back to the roots 2.0, let's do this a little bit more.
Or 3.0 or 4.0.
3.0, 4.0, 5.0, better.
Exactly, and that's what, there's this pattern in the church where a saint comes along and says, I want to follow Jesus radically.
Yeah.
And people are like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And so they all run off and join him in a monastery. And then more and more people and more and more people. And then gradually, oftentimes they get a little lax. Yeah. And then another saint comes along oh man, we need to. So John of the Cross is a great example.
John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, the first ones I think of as far as needing to reform an already existent order.
Exactly. Now, the cool thing about the Carthusians is they've never been reformed. So from the 1080s until today, there's been gradual updates to the rule with time, but they've never needed reform. There's never been a reform. They're still the spiritual powerhouse, these incredible spiritual superstars that live out in the mountains and give their lives totally to Christ.
It's amazing.
And it's really, really incredible. The Carthusians also have a really cool history of Their idea is really to embrace Christ on the cross, and their motto for the Carthusians is Stat crux dum volvitur orbis, which is the cross is steady while the world is turning. And they say, okay, if I leave the world, if I leave all these things around us, and embrace the cross, that's where I find the safe harbor in my life. You know, everywhere else we're tossed about by the storms, but it's with Jesus on the cross that I really get to experience him and really get to have that love, which gives me stability. Sure. And
so it's so like Pauline, it's amazing to it's so counterworldly, this idea that I'm going to flee everything else and I'm going to embrace the cross, and that's where I find peace and stability and joy, right? I mean, mm-hmm. even joy. And it's a biblical notion, it's an incredible notion, but it's this sort of resignation to realize finally, you know, embrace the cross.
And it's like, when you think about it, it's super scary. Like, think about all, like, they don't eat meat, they fast all the time, they don't talk except for a few occasions. They live in these like tiny little huts in their monasteries and don't see each other. They just are praying constantly and they're totally dying to themselves. And then when they're buried, they don't have any like real marker of who was buried there, because it's just a Carthusian, a brother in Christ. And that's like, dang, I like my life. You know, I like the stuff I have. I like being able to talk to my friends.
I know our listeners can't see our surroundings and we're not in opulence, but it's like, we're
not eating bread. Like we went and got pizza.
we did this, we got pizza for because we love pizza. And it is this thing where it's like, so we live lives as secular priests or diocesan priests that are like, you know, people look at us and they think we make sacrifices. And I don't want to say we don't. We do. And hopefully as spiritual practice, we're making even more sacrifices than they see. But so the question that comes into mind in a certain sense is like, you say you want to be a Carthusian so badly. And like, I know you can't be. I know you can't be. Can't be too. But what is it about this life? Like, if I said to you, okay, be a priest, but take away pizza and the meat and the talking and, you know, a lot of the things that
living
we love about
with
it.
Friends and stuff.
Yeah, what makes you want to be a Carthusian?
It's just so inspiring. Like, and I mean, obviously my vocation is to be a diocesan priest and I'm confident in that. But, you know, there's something attractive in total surrender and abandonment to Christ.
Totally.
And giving your entire heart, you know, in a place that's structured to do that. And we see in, you know, the Carthusians, because they're a contemplative order, were persecuted pretty regularly through history, especially in the Reformation when they were seen as just a drain on society, because these men, they're not even serving the poor, they're just going out into the woods and praying. And in the Reformation in England, Henry VIII, it was the Charterhouses, their monastery,
yep.
They were the ones who stood up to the Reformation in England, and they were some of the first martyrs in England. And at Tyburn, the head of the London Charterhouse was hanged, drawn, and quartered in his habit. And when they took out his heart, he shouted, "Jesus, you know, what are you doing with my heart?" And it's just like these powerful embracing of the cross.
Yeah, you hear their motto like ringing through that. This idea that in what seems like total utter turmoil, you know, the English Reformation across the countryside, where are they clinging to? Like, what's their stability?
Exactly, and it's the cross.
It's the cross. I think,
and that's what's attractive, right? Because if we truly are in love with the Lord, we want to be more and more closely united to him. And where do we find him when we're looking for him? We find him on the cross.
Absolutely.
And in suffering and that kind of stuff, oh, man, it's awesome. You get to serve and be close to him, and that's the goal.
It is amazing. It really is like this, it's just unbelievable. And this idea of total giving of ourselves to something that is so essential and so human and so dear to in our lives. Well, Father Conrad, I think after listening to this podcast, as we said at the beginning, no one's going to believe that you could ever be in great silence. But, you know, first of all, do absolutely investigate the movie. If you want to be moved and inspired and frankly,
it's
shocked.
Definitely worth it, yeah.
Then watch Into Great Silence. It's amazing. And if you enjoy this podcast and you'd like to hear more from Father Conrad, from myself, and from other priests who get to talk about all sorts of things and you guys get to listen, visit our website at CatholicBitesPodcast.com. Thanks for listening. Have a good evening. God bless you.